a rough life. I actually got a lot of good feedback about last week's episode and that everyone really liked hearing the drama going on down here with the Alabama shelter and our mayor. So I just wanted to give a little follow-up on that. I did not go to the protest. I know a lot of you were concerned that I may have been arrested when you saw my post on the Foster's Facebook page asking for a lawyer, but I was not arrested. I was just needing help sending a cease and desist to someone. I didn't go to the protest, A, because I forgot about it, but B, because they had originally said that it was going to be a peaceful and silent protest, and shocker to no one, I cannot be silent. But it turned out it was actually a city council meeting, and everyone was given the opportunity to speak at the podium for 5 minutes, and are you kidding me? That's like my dream. I would have crushed it. Give me a mic and a captive audience and I would be in my glory. I am so disappointed that I didn't go. It got so heated though and so intense. I watched the live feed of everything going down. The mayor was there, his wife was there, all the volunteers for the shelter and animal rescuers from even other towns came just to tell the mayor how ridiculous this is. So if you didn't listen to last week's episode or if you just forgot, the mayor said that he would not be allowing the shelter to transport animals to rescues anymore. They couldn't work with rescues at all. And thus, animals were going to have to be euthanized. So of course, he immediately started backpedaling this week and was like, I never said that the animals were going to be euthanized. But like, if you take away transport rescues, there's no other option because there's so few local adoptions. So people were just eating him alive at this city hall meeting. I mean, one guy even got up there and was like, I don't know you and I'm glad I don't know you. You're a terrible person. I think I'm actually gonna like take some screen recordings of the meeting because it was like a 2.5 hour long thing. I think I'm gonna record some of it and maybe post it on the Rough Life Instagram page or something, because some of the things these people said were unhinged and I loved it, and I know y'all will too. It was like 1 a.m. My entire house was asleep and I am like under the blankets watching this in bed, having to cover my mouth and be like, yeah, get him. Oh, and then the mayor's wife got up there and almost got thrown out because she was so hateful to the people in the audience that were speaking out against her husband. Anyways, we do have a resolution. Something good has come from this. I don't know why he never said this from the get-go, because I do 100% understand his point, but he never said this until literally yesterday. Yesterday, he said for the first time, the reason that they weren't able to use the 2 transport vans that were donated to the city shelter for transporting animals was because they were being driven by people who were not city workers and it was a liability. 100%. So he was saying no more transports, you can't use the vans anymore. And everyone was like, well, what do you want us to do with them? Like, if we can't drive the van to take the animals to the vet or take the animals, you know, out of state to meet the rescue, what are the vans for? So then he was saying that people just needed to do it in their personal vehicles. Well, you can only fit so many animals in your Ford Focus, and nobody wants to take a gushing blood, hit by a car, dying dog to the vet in their brand new Tesla. I mean, not that anyone who even volunteers at the shelter would drive a Tesla. I don't even think anybody in our town drives a Tesla. That's just the only fancy car I could think of on the spot. Anyways, he ended up saying that the city would so generously donate one of the vehicles to a nonprofit that works with the shelter. So it's like a Friends of the Shelter nonprofit, not the actual animal shelter, so that people can drive it and use it for whatever they need it to, but it's not a liability for the city, which again, I 100% agree with. Like if this is a city-owned vehicle, you cannot just be letting some Joe Schmo drive it to Wisconsin and back. That's 100% a liability, and he's right. But he never said that. And if that was the case from the get-go, which I don't think it was, I think he just pulled this out of his butt last minute because he was like, hey, they might listen to this. Why wasn't he like, listen, we just need to pause transports for the next few days until we figure out a workaround, even though I knew this was going on for the last 15 years and didn't have a problem with it. Oh, and the director got fired over it. He ended up giving her a job back and everything was fine. But still, like, That's really uncalled for to fire someone for doing their job or doing what they think is their job and something that they've been doing for 15 years and no one's bat an eye over it. I think he just took the side of the disgruntled volunteer and was like, yeah, we'll shut it down. And then when he realized how much backlash he got from this and how he was absolutely not going to be reelected next term over this, he really started backpedaling and tried to save face and was like, whoa, it was just a liability. I love the animals. But the damage is done. I hope the damage is done. Anyways, we need a new mayor after this because this was disappointing to say the least. But the shelter's back up and running. The director was reinstated. The mayor and his wife showed their true colors, and I did not get arrested. And I found out what a bunch of fosters for Wolf Trap do for a living, so I will definitely be keeping that in my back pocket next time I'm needing a therapist or a police officer or a dog trainer or a landscaper or baker or speech pathologist. I mean, we had dozens of other jobs. That was very interesting to hear what you guys do. But on to today's transport. It's been a long time since we had a Sunday transport. I think the only one we've ever done was Easter 2022, the cookie theme transport. This was a really good excuse, though, for us to get up at the absolute butt crack of dawn today and go to my hometown church to surprise my mom and my grandmother. I haven't been to my hometown congregation since Justin and I got married, mainly because they changed worship time to 9:30 in the morning. And I think Jesus would have had something to say about that. But also because it's a 90-minute drive. And I really love our home congregation here in Alabama. But anyways, no one at our church has gotten to meet Mary Sue yet. And I love any excuse to buy me and Mary Sue new matching dresses. So we got up at like 6:15 this morning to make it happen. And that's like real life morning time for morning people. It's basically middle of the night for me because I stay up late and I sleep late every day. I was actually up until 2:30 last night just trying to get everything ready today. So we were struggle busing it today. This transport might be one of my favorite ones we've ever done, though. The theme is children's books. We've done children's books characters before, but we've never done just children's books. Not that I don't love all the dogs on all the transports, but I always feel a closer bond with the adults than like the litter of 11 random puppies that I don't know anything about. So I love the fact that this was mostly adults. This transport started off just being one nursing mama dog and three pregnant dogs, but because of our insanely amazing fosters and Jacqueline going on a yes spree and all three pregnant dogs giving birth, it ended up being four nursing moms, one mom with a litter of older puppies, two single adult dogs, and four cats. Love it. I loved this transport. Let's get into their stories, though, because it's a lot. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was added as a surprise for the first time ever, not a surprise to the Virginia team on the receiving end. We've had many of those. But as a surprise to the Wolf Trap South team on the sending end. This is my stepbrother's dog. He had absolutely no business getting a puppy when he had just built a house and has three small children. But as the dummy he is, he got a puppy and he regretted it since day one. Charlie has run away from home, causing a massive search through their neighborhood, pulled up the freshly laid sod he had just put down, tore the gutters off the house, knocked the kids off their bikes while they were playing, bit a hole in the basketball they used for practice. You name it, he's done it. He's had no training. He had never been in a house. But they have, at the very least, kept him up to date on his vaccines, which they only knew to do because my mother talks about all the sick puppies we get all the time. Anyways, my mother has loved this dog from the day they brought it home. She brings him treats, toys, beds, brings it to her house when it's below freezing, invites him over to play when the kids come. She has tried so, so hard to teach this dog how to be a good and normal and lovable dog because she knew. From day one, she knew. It may be weeks, it may be months, it may be years, but they will ask us to take him and send him to Wolf Trap. And when they do, he needs to be an adoptable dog. And sure enough, right before the last cold spell hit, they told my mom they wanted to get rid of Charlie because they just didn't have time for him. The kids don't like him because he jumps on them and it was just getting too cold too often. So my mom went that night, picked him up and brought him home before they could change their minds. She took him to the vet the next morning to be neutered and then paid to board him there when it was so insanely cold so that he could recover. She was going to keep fostering him, but we actually needed her to take a different litter. So we sent him to one of our other fosters. He's done fabulous there, but he had to be crated a lot, which he did not love because he's used to having like the entire outdoors to roam whenever he wanted. But he's been really good, really sweet with them, not destructive, not knocking the children down, and he seems potty trained. They could only keep him for a week though, so then we sent him to doggy daycare, and my poor mother has asked every single day, sometimes multiple times a day, how is Charlie doing? Is Charlie being good? Do people like him? Is he having fun? Are dogs being sweet to him? Is he happy? Is he going to Virginia? When can he go to Virginia? Who will take him in Virginia? Nonstop. I told her there was absolutely no way he would go on this transport because there were just too many adults in the system already, plus it's a mom and me transport and he ain't a mama. But then on a whim, I pitched it to Jacqueline and I played the stage 4 terminal cancer card because it is unfair that my mom has so many other things to be stressing out about, but instead she is constantly worrying about someone else's dog and how she can make his life better. Oh, and her husband, my stepbrother's father, also has stage 4 cancer, so they're a mess right now and they don't need this on their plates too. So I pitch him to Jacqueline and in a moment of weakness, she says, fine, but only if you can find a foster for him. Maybe Catherine McClure will take him. I was on that like white on rice. Now, I'm not going to say that the McClures are my favorite fosters because I might need to use that line to get someone else to foster for me down the road. And I cannot have proof out there that I've said it about someone else before. But let me just tell you, the McClure family are the only people from Virginia that have been to my house down here to visit me. And I do love them dearly. I love them enough that I'm not scared to cold text them out of nowhere and play the stage 4 terminal cancer card, despite Catherine also being a breast cancer survivor herself and also not needing more stress in her life. But like always, they came through for me. Now, are they going to pick him up tomorrow morning and return him tomorrow evening because he's so awful? That I don't know. But I do know that'll be Jacqueline's problem, not mine. So back to my mother. She had no idea that he was leaving today. She thought we were making her pick him up from doggy daycare this morning because they wouldn't be able to keep him any longer because he was terrible. Really, he was fantastic. They had no problem keeping him. And that we were struggling to find another foster for him. We didn't know what we were going to do. I was so excited to bring him out during transport and surprise her and tell her he's actually getting his freedom ride. You don't have to worry about him anymore. I even recorded it because I thought this would be some big like, what? No, this is the best news I've ever heard video. No, that's not at all how it happened. In true Becky Nelms fashion, she was more upset with me and Jessica for lying to her for the last 24 hours than she was happy that he was going. And then she called me a jerk for trying to trick her. I will definitely be posting it so you can see all the abuse I endure down here. Oh, but my stepbrother has promised to never get another dog again. I've loved you since forever, was found as a stray on my road, but far enough down that I don't know if she was meant for me or our veterinarian. Did I tell y'all that the town's veterinarian lives on the same road as the doghouse? We are drop-off central, okay? Anyways, she was dumped, but someone else noticed her wandering around for a few days. Actually, coincidentally, the girl who found him, her dad, used to be my transport driver. So we've got the Wolf Trap headquarters, the vet, and the transport driver all on the same road. His adult daughter found her and posted her on Facebook looking for an owner, took her to the vet, didn't have a chip, asked around for several weeks if anyone recognized her, and then finally asked me and Jessica if we would take her, which, ironically, was the same day we sent Scout, the male golden retriever, on transport. So we had about like 50 million people and their mothers all asking if they could adopt him, and I knew that this one wouldn't be a problem to find a home for either. So Scout went to one of my OG Fosters. Like, I'm talking way back in the heyday of Wolf Trap. A1 from actual day one. Kelly Epps. I don't know if she knows this, but what made her stick out to me and my mom down here the most. So, you know, we don't actually like know you guys. We just know you on Facebook and your Facebook profile pictures and things like that. How we remember Kelly, though, is because a picture was posted during intake one day when intakes were done outside of PetSmart in the parking lot. And Kelly was wearing the same kind of shorts my mom wears, which, no offense, Kelly, but are not like the hip and popular trendy shorts. So this was like very much like, hey, my mom has those shorts. And she had on the same shoes as my mom. So all you could see in this picture was her waist down. And I sent it to my mom and I was like, is this you? Did you go to Virginia this morning? Like, we could not believe how identical their legs looked. So now, anytime we're talking about her, we say, Kelly, you know, with your legs. You remember the girl who has your legs? Kelly? Anyways, we've always loved and remembered Kelly for this. But also, if you're an OOG too, you may remember my viral We're Dying post from early 2019. It was puppy season. We were slammed. I was crying every day. And I posted about it. And Wolf Trap literally flocked to my aid, covered me in encouragement, buried me alive in dog food and other supplies, shut down the town's post office for an entire day because we had so many packages they couldn't get through mine to get to other people's. Like, it was truly one of the most incredible experiences of my life, and I will never forget it as long as I live. One of the dogs pictured in that viral post was our girl Bonnie. Truly the sweetest soul. This was not her first life. She just knew how to act in any situation. She was the goodest good girl. One of my rescue besties, Callie, who tragically passed away in a car wreck not long after this, spent 5 hours under an abandoned house trying to convince Bonnie and her only surviving puppy to come out. Callie had, no lie, 1,000 bug bites of all different kinds covering her whole body from this adventure she had been on. But she got her. Kelly saw my post with Bonnie's picture, and the first thing she said was, I want her. To my knowledge, which could be completely wrong, but as best I can remember, Kelly wasn't really our go-to dog foster. She may have my mom's legs, but she did not have my mom's heart for fostering dogs. She fostered some puppies, but she mainly stuck with cats. She was our cat foster. So no one really thought anything would come of her fostering Bonnie. Like, she's not going to foster fail. I even told her she couldn't foster fail because she didn't let dogs on the furniture. And I had promised Bonnie that she could live in a house where she would sleep on the couch whenever she wanted. Long story short, she foster failed. They were the absolute most perfect family for her. She broke their one rule about being allowed on the furniture, and she got to live out my promise to her. So when Kelly commented on Scout's post the other day saying she would foster him, I told Jacqueline we had to let Kelly have him because she hasn't fostered a dog since she adopted Bonnie, and maybe she's looking for a friend for Bonnie after all these years. She hadn't fostered in years, but she was still sending us donations literally every single time I make a post asking for help. She reads all of my stories. She almost always comments the most uplifting and encouraging things. So she was by no means in the shadows, but she hadn't fostered in a while. So literally, as the van carrying Scout was on its way to Kelly, I learned about this dog. I've loved you since forever. And the more I was hearing about her, the more I was like, no, 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 Kelly cannot foster fail with Scout. This is Bonnie's soul sister. They would be so perfect together. And then the van crashed and everything was in a tailspin. And we were up to our necks in puppies down here. And I forgot to tell Kelly. I eventually got on Messenger one random day a few weeks ago because I never check my Facebook Messenger. It's a very scary, anxiety-inducing place that I do not like to go to. But I randomly clicked on to message Kelly and tell her to forget she ever even met Scout and I had a new best friend for Bonnie coming. When I clicked her name, I had an unread message from her from several weeks prior, and devastatingly, they found out just before Thanksgiving that Bonnie was in end-stage liver cancer, and she was gone just a few days before Christmas. Kelly had given Bonnie a life Bonnie could have never even dreamt of, taking her to work with her, getting her certified as a therapy dog, going on long hikes, spending her days being loved and adored by all who met her, especially her neighborhood children. They went everywhere together. And now, I have no doubt that Bonnie waits patiently at the Rainbow Bridge to be reunited with Kelly again so she can introduce her to Callie, the two people who loved her the most in this world and the two people who saved her. I don't know if Kelly even plans to keep this new dog. I don't know if she's even thinking about foster failing. I know it's really soon after Bonnie's passing, but I hope she sees the same similarities that I saw between them, and I hope at least for the next few weeks she helps fill the Bonnie-shaped hole in their hearts. Plus, I'm just so glad to have the girl with my mom's legs fostering with us again. When Dixie and her four W puppies are from the Crazy Lady. Now, I know what you're thinking. What? You have so many crazy ladies, but this might be the craziest lady that we've ever had. This is the same home as Nessa Rose and the G litter of three from the November 23rd, 2024 Wicked Transport. If you missed that story, trust me, you need to go back and listen to it. This home is at the top of the worst animal situations we've ever seen. When Jessica went there back in November, there were dead puppies, walking skeletons of dogs, dogs fighting literally to the death over scraps of food they would find. It was awful. We took what we could from there, which at the time was a mom, a litter of puppies, and then a single puppy. The mom we took ended up having to be euthanized. Unfortunately, after working with her for almost 2 months, she was just too aggressive with other animals for us to keep or send to another rescue. And this wasn't like, oh, she'll snap and growl at another dog. This was like, she will fight to the death because that's all she's ever known. If she sees another dog, she will do everything she can to kill it. So it was heartbreaking, but Jessica gave her the best weeks of her life, and we loved on her so, so much while we had her. When Dixie is her puppy from an older litter. Back in November, the owner wouldn't surrender any of the other dogs to us. We barely even got away with taking the ones that we did, but we continued to bring them food over the winter, and we knew eventually someone would get pregnant and she would call us again. And sure enough, 3 months later, that's exactly what happened. She promised to be nice this time and not cuss and threatened to kill Jessica if we would still help her. So Jessica went by the next day just to assess the situation, see how many puppies there were, see how old, if the lady was really going to be nice or not, things like that. As soon as she pulls up in the driveway, Winn-Dixie runs to Jessica like they were long lost best friends. If you've seen pictures of her, you know, she was literally just skin and bones. She didn't have much nutrition to start with, and these puppies have sucked the life out of her. She has done so well taking care of them, though. Her four puppies are the roundest, fattest little things you've ever seen. So when the owner came out of the house, she went up to Jessica and threw her arms around her neck, and Jessica didn't know if the lady was going to hug her or strangle her, but it was just a hug this time. We were about to get another round of snow last week. Like, where do we live? I thought it never snows down here. Anyways, snow and freezing temps were coming, so Mama Becky sent Charlie to another foster, and then she and Jessica went to round up this family so we would know that they were for sure safe and warm and fed. Little Red Hen and her 6L puppy story was shared on the fosters page. So if you read that, you can fast forward a couple minutes. I'm just going to be saying the same exact thing that I posted there. I have been sitting on pins and needles waiting to share this story with you. It is quite a shocking story. One, because it's from Jessica, and y'all know she never has a good background story for any of her pulls. But two, it's because we were actually told to euthanize this mama dog when her puppies were just days old. Let me start at the beginning. We got a call about a possibly pregnant dog right before the winter storm that canceled my January 18th transport hit. Looking at the pictures of this dog gave me PTSD flashbacks to my Jane girl. I know you OGs remember, but for you newbies, she was a dog I pulled thinking she was insanely pregnant and going to give birth any day, only to discover literally immediately that her belly was so bloated, not from puppies, but from fluid backing up from being in congestive heart failure caused by heartworms. She lost 27 pounds, I think it was like in 36 hours, just from peeing it all out. She had 27 pounds of fluid on her. It was so devastating. It was so devastating watching her fight so hard to live, only to have her life cut short just a few weeks later. Single-handedly, my most heartbreaking pull to date. So, when I saw the pictures of Little Red, I told Jessica, there is no way she's pregnant, it had to be heartworms, and we would not put her through the agonizing treatment like we did Jane. The shelter ended up picking her up that afternoon, and we scheduled to take her to the vet the next morning. Well, joke was on us, because we got a call first thing that morning saying she was actively birthing puppies on the cold cement floor of the shelter. Now remember, we are in fight or flight mode down here. Transport has just been canceled a few days earlier. 50 plus puppies that were supposed to leave didn't. So 50 plus puppies that we were counting on going into those foster homes couldn't. Everything was on fire. Temps were well below freezing and we were in crisis mode. The best we could do for Little Red at that moment was get a kiddie pool, blankets, and a heat lamp set up for her at the shelter. So finally transport leaves, we get everyone resituated, the doghouse freed up so we could take her and get her set up there. Unfortunately, in the 2 days that it took us to get a foster spot open for her, four of her puppies froze to death at the shelter. Jessica went to get her just before transport left on the 25th, and we were stunned at how sickly she was. She couldn't walk, she could barely stand, she wasn't eating, she had to be carried around. It took all of her strength just for her to lift her head up. We started her on some meds right away, and then we took her to the vet as soon as the doors opened Monday morning. And that's when things went from bad to worse. The vet who saw her explained to us that she was septic, heartworm positive, suffering from severe endometriitis, and had a retained placenta. She was eaten up with internal parasites and had horrible blood work. His recommendation was an immediate full body blood transfusion, emergency hysterectomy, and remove her puppies from her care permanently. Not only were we talking about thousands and thousands of dollars, but severe emotional distress, both mentally and physically, for her and us, honestly. He said even if we followed his advice to the letter, she had maybe a 25% chance of surviving. He really thought it was more humane just to euthanize her. But if we wanted a last-ditch attempt to save her, this might work. So I called Dr. Burton half to ask her if I could spend thousands on a dog I hadn't even told her that I had pulled yet, but also to see if she thought that this would be cruel to put her through all of this too, and if we should just euthanize her. Her response, like always, was hilarious. What? No, we're not doing any of that. What is this vet talking about? Send me all the lab work. So I sent her the results of all the tests, the lab work, the ultrasounds, everything. She goes, absolutely not. Take her home, deworm her, put her on fluids, and let her be with her babies. She'll be fine in a few days. I'm like, what? No emergency surgery, no abandoning her puppies. I was skeptical, to say the least, but she has never steered us wrong before, so we went with it. Shout out to Jessica for taking on the role of tactfully telling the other vet that we respectfully agree to disagree, and we're going to go with the advice of a vet who has never seen this dog before. We did agree to compromise and let them prescribe some really heavy-duty antibiotics for her, despite Dr. Burton thinking that they were pointless. You just can't keep everyone happy. So Jessica took her back to the doghouse to doctor her up. She started her on fluids, gave her all her meds, and cooked her up some boiled chicken. That, combined with the hamburgers that Mama Becky would come by and hand-feed her every day, she was finally starting to eat something at least. About 36 hours later, she started standing up and getting out of the kiddie pool to potty. And 2 days later, she met Jessica in the garage when she came by to check on her. She was very surprised to see that. Day three, she started wagging her tail. And day four, she no longer needed fluids because she was eating and drinking enough on her own. And by day five, she happily went in and out of the doggy door to potty anytime she needed to, tail wagging as she romped around the yard. She's been with us just shy of 1 month, and we have watched a absolute miracle unfold before our very eyes. This dog had 3 feet in the grave when we got her. There is absolutely no way she would have survived if we didn't get her out of the shelter when we did. Would she have survived the blood transfusion, the emergency spay that the vet recommended? Probably. I don't think he was necessarily wrong in his advice, but it is absolutely 100% safer for her to have a scheduled routine spay now that she's completely healthy and feeling great again and has gained so much weight. Plus, just the psychological toll it would have taken on her to have her puppies ripped away. She is one of the few mamas we've had that genuinely loves being a mama and is happy to spend all day with her babies, even now that she's feeling better. The four of us, me, Jessica, my mom, and Dr. Burton, have saved a lot of dogs in all our years of rescue, but I can say without a doubt that Little Red Story will be one that we all will remember forever. And if you're ever wondering if Dr. Burton is a good veterinarian, I can tell you dozens of other stories, just like this one, where she's saved an animal's life over the phone without ever even seeing them. And if that doesn't tell you how experienced she is, I don't know what will. P is for Pterodactyl, which if you haven't read that book, it's hysterical and you absolutely need to go buy it. P is for Pterodactyl was found as a stray. Jessica's neighbor called us a few weeks ago about a dog that had shown up at the county school where she works. She said she was very pregnant and about to give birth any day. We had a transport leaving the next day and a foster opening, so the neighbor loaded her up after school and brought her to transport for our bottle feeder foster to take. 2 weeks later, she had 6 puppies. One was stillborn, but the other 5 were very healthy. Now, if you're fostering this family, you may be doing a head count and thinking my math is wrong. Pterodactyl had 5 healthy puppies, but just before the mama gave birth, our bottle feeder foster got a call from the shelter in a neighboring town that they had 6 newborn puppies whose mama had been run over and killed. The shelter was going to euthanize the puppies at the end of the day if they didn't find someone who would take them. Obviously, our foster ran over there to get them, and she and her family immediately got to work bottle feeding them. These are experts at bottle feeding. I can't even tell you how many hundreds they have bottle fed for us, but despite doing everything they could for them, none of them took to the bottle. One by one, they all died, except for this one. The day after the last one died, the mama gave birth, and they decided just to see if she would take the remaining puppy in. That puppy latched on like it had been waiting for a mama this whole time and was so happy to finally have one again. And mama has her 6th puppy once again. I usually keep everyone under the same letter in situations like this because obviously they're all one litter now, but how could I let the opportunity to name this little orphan puppy, "Are you my mother?" I could not let that pass me up. Maybe we'll just like put a silent P at the front, like Pterodactyl. Mother Goose and her 8 M puppies are from the same home as the C litter of 11 from the last transport, the SNL skits. To our knowledge, the mamas are not related, but the owner thinks that the puppies all have the same daddy. When Jessica was picking up the 11 puppies last week, Mother Goose came waddling out with her belly almost dragging the ground. Jessica asked the lady if we could have her too, and she said, go for it. She had taken her in as a stray several months ago and just never got her fixed. We were hoping that she would wait and give birth in Virginia, but she came up just short. We also found out that the mama of the sea litter of 11 is being given away for free now. The owner told us that she was in animal rescue, which she's not. That's just what people down here say when they pick up stray dogs and keep them at their house. But she told us she wanted to keep the mom, so we gave her a spay voucher. But now that she's trying to give her away on Facebook, we're going to see if she'll just let us have her too. Or if that's even the same dog and not just a third mama that we don't know about yet. This lady has so many dogs, it's insane. Guess how much I love you and her 12 G puppies. Okay, if you're the foster, don't freak out and start counting your puppies. It may not actually be 12. The shelter workers told us 12, but when Jessica went to get the genders, she only sent me 11 genders. And I feel like I can safely trust the information of a person I have never met in my life over the information from Jessica, who I work with every single day. So we're going with 12. But if you're looking at them right now and you're only counting 11, even a broken clock is right twice a day. So Jessica may have just gotten lucky this time and gave me the correct information after all. Anyways. This mama is from the local kill shelter. She and her almost full-grown daughter named Baby Girl were left at a rental house tied to the front porch. Animal control picked them up, and another rescue who works very closely with the shelter found a northern rescue to take the puppy in New Hampshire. She actually left the day before our transport. But when they were doing the workup on the shelter mama, they realized she was definitely pregnant, and they took her to the vet to confirm. We were hoping that we could get her to Virginia before she gave birth, but she did not quite make it. The workers came into the shelter one morning and found a kiddie pool full of 12 or maybe 11 puppies and one very proud mama. I told Jessica to ask the shelter volunteer to get a pitiful picture of the mama to help find her a foster, because no one wants to foster a cute, happy, smiley dog, but everyone will jump up to save the pitiful, lonely, sad dog in a kill shelter. So the girl said she did everything she could to get a sad picture of this dog, but she is the happiest dog in the world, no matter what. She's always smiling, tail wagging in all of her pictures. As for the cats, they are all from our Alabama shelter friends. Jacqueline told me that I could send 2 neutered males who would go to the cat condo. And then I sent her a picture of the super cute Siamese mix and told her that we needed to take it this weekend because it would definitely be adopted before the next transport. So she was like, oh yeah, that's a good point. Okay, yeah, we'll take it too. And then I told her that the shelter worker loves the black and white kitten and she's so desperate for love that she cries all day in the cage until someone comes to pet her. And we really need to take her too. And Jacqueline said, obviously. But then I asked her to take a puppy with a prolapsed rectum this weekend, and she said, hard no. So I guess good mood Jacqueline was over it by that point. Velveteen Rabbit, that's the black and white kitten that is just so pitiful in the crate begging for someone to come pet it. She came in as a very sick kitten a few months ago. The shelter manager worked night and day to get her well and refused to let her be adopted out many times because she wanted her to go to Wolf Trap. Fancy Nancy, the Siamese mix. She has been a stray roaming the town for over a year. Someone finally brought her in when it was getting cold out. One and only Ivan and Never Touch a Grumpy Bunny. That's actually one of Mary Sue's favorite books. If you have a little baby in your life, you have to buy these Never Touch a whatever animals. They're the best. Never Touch a Grumpy Bunny are from the same home. But they don't think that they're related. They came in together after their owner died. The family loaded them up in the crate the same day the man died and handed them, crate and all, to animal control because they wanted nothing to do with them. That is all for this transport. I hope y'all believe me when I tell you how much you mean to me. Last week was a hard, sad week for me, but starting this week off saving 47 lives, emptying all of our foster homes down here, and getting new matching dresses with my baby sure turned things around for me. And it's all because of you guys stepping up to foster. You guys are the best. I love y'all forever. It's a rough life, but someone's got to do it.